This is Dr. Mark Rohde, and today we'll be talking about building healthy relationships during early recovery. Let's start with one huge reality. Having a positive relationship with any new romantic partner takes a lot of work. If it's going to work, it requires a good deal of focus. If you're in early recovery, your focus needs to be on recovery, and while you might think that you need a distraction, it's a really bad idea. The common guidance within the 12-step recovery community is that you ought to wait at least a year. It's good advice that's often ignored. Please, don't ignore it. Now, chances are that you've got some important interpersonal connections that have become screwed up as a result of your addiction. And, if you're like most, you would clearly benefit from having some new and safer people to hang out with. You'll need to do some damage control with some people like your wife, your kids, other family members, your employer, and colleagues, and you'll want to collect some new healthy sober buddies. So what does a healthy relationship look like? Well, it's based upon honesty and mutual respect. When there are challenges, and there will be challenges, there's got to be a willingness to find answers rather than assign blame. In a healthy relationship, there's an openness to express one's needs and an openness to talk about misunderstandings that will occasionally arise. There's a give and take in a healthy bond, with each feeling like their emotional needs are being met. Healthy relationships include empathy, accountability, and a sense of safety. In a close bond, there may be a few topics that aren't open for discussion, but relatively few. It is clear that some people have a greater desire for social contact than others, and that is normal enough. It doesn't matter how many friends you've got, so much as the quality of those relationships. For many close bonds, a genuine liking and mutual affection is at the core of the relationship. Let's think about a few things that tend to foul up relationships. At the top of my list are some unhelpful beliefs. If you believe that you're not good enough or don't deserve to have relationships, that's an obvious impediment. If your self-esteem has been damaged, that's probably an issue that you'll want to address with a therapist. People who don't accept themselves often have problems in relationships. Your ability to believe in yourself will send a powerful message that you are valuable. If you believe that any problem requires that one of you needs to change your mind or behavior, that's a problem. I would encourage you to believe that differences can exist between people, but that doesn't mean that one of them has to be wrong. It is fully possible that people can understand each other's beliefs without having to change their own. If you ever think that it's useful or necessary to hide your personal thoughts and feelings from others in order to avoid a conflict, you're probably setting yourself up for more difficulties, because it is our feelings and beliefs that provide a basis for relationships. It is just really hard to connect with someone without understanding something about what makes them tick. You probably won't want to share a good many highly personal things right away, but will likely find that sharing is increasingly easy as your relationship grows. If you think that you can't possibly exist without a certain person in your life, you're likely to be so intensely focused on your loss that there's little room to connect with someone else. If you're able to recognize that your feelings could be characterized as an obsession, that's a good place to start with a therapist. If it's something less than an obsession, you need to spend some time mourning the loss and then moving on. If you believe that your needs should always come last, a part of me admires your selflessness, but a larger part of me is concerned that after you've given and given and given to a relationship, there may not be much left for yourself. As I noted earlier, healthy relationships should be mutually supportive. Let other people know what you need. If you think that a bad relationship is better than no relationship, no, it isn't. Bad relationships are destructive and occupy the time and space that limits your ability to develop a healthy new network of supportive people. Earlier in this podcast, I talked about the potential need to do some damage control with the key people in your life. Hopefully, your family were participants in your recovery, and they understand what you've been going through. If not, they're apt to need a bit of education. Please be gentle with your family and understand that they've been through a lot and are not likely to have had the intensive supports that you've experienced. Al-Anon, Alateen, and Families Anonymous may be very useful for your loved one. Family counseling is also apt to be very effective, but be sure to select a family therapist who understands addictive disorders. If you've got teenagers or young adult children, they are either at risk for their own addiction or may be in need of their own recovery. Now may be a great time to develop or reinstate family traditions like mealtimes, vacations, and home projects that can rebuild family connections. Be kind. Don't push it. Work on having your own solid recovery as your number one priority. Returning to employment after treatment can be a challenge, but your attitude, positive relationships, and a strong work ethic can go a long way to ensure that your employer and colleagues view your return in the most positive terms. You will want to know about your employment-related rights relative to the health care that you've received. In many industries, you may be required to have a return-to-work agreement after completion of your addictions treatment that outlines what you need to do as you return to work. While you may have certain rights, your ability to maintain and enhance your relationships with your supervisor and coworkers is apt to carry the day. Developing new friends can be almost easy for many people in early recovery. You're likely to find sober people at recovery meetings, and you'll develop those bonds quickest through service work, getting to meetings early, and staying late to chat with those who know recovery the best. As always, your recovery coach is there for you 24/7. If you've got a challenge that seems unique, just ask, and we'll search out a solution. Thanks for listening. Be well.